This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the week that splits the Pac-12 in half.
Touchdown! Johnny Johnson the third.
Takes a Utah bound and it might have been muffed. It is recovered by Utah.
We're getting you ready for the Pac-12 championship.
I think if you ask that question this year, where you're at, I think you're a top 15 team.
This is Primetime on Pac-12 Championship Week.
Brought to you by Allen Webb Mitsubishi. Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, I'm just going to warn you. I'm going to do the what to do.
Okay.
Well, you're not supposed to talk yet.
Oh.
Shut up. This is going to be a very difficult ahoy for Jason, but we're going to try it. All right, here we go. What it do?
Ahoy!
Hello.
Well, I tell you what, man, you sound terrible.
Ahoy! It's a little rough.
You sound terrible.
A little rough right now. Anyone that thought I was faking, because on Friday, day after Thanksgiving, I wasn't doing so well. And people were like,
we had a show if you didn't know.
Yeah, we had a show.
We were here, guys.
Seven people heard. And there was a lot
of
people.
14.
A lot of people were doing you're setting it up for the long weekend and then be gone. Well, Monday, we didn't have a show. And
no show Monday worked out great.
And I'll
ratings
tell you,
were great.
Had we had a show Monday, I do not think that I would have been here. And then I would have been accused of setting up for the long weekend, but no, unfortunately I have contracted strep throat yet again.
I would never accuse someone of that. You get sick. People get sick.
Well, and you can,
it happens.
And you can kind of hear that that's not,
no, I think you're faking it.
Yeah. It's a fake. And believe it or not, this is as good.
So wait,
this is as good as I've sounded in 4 days.
Hey, no show Monday, was a wild success.
Smashing.
So we will also have no show Friday.
Yeah.
Dude, the exciting thing for you is we only have three shows this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so you...
So I kind of got to power through it.
We don't have to.
Okay.
I mean, quite frankly, I was just reading about strep throat on the internet.
Yeah, would you like me to go home?
Well, it's too late now.
Oh, okay.
Because strep is quite contagious, and that's what you have, right?
Yes.
And so if we were going to get it from you, it was probably Friday.
Probably, yes.
Because we didn't see you on Thursday.
No.
Or Saturday or Sunday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that once you've been treated with antibiotics mm-hmm. for streptococcus.
Yes.
Which is what you have.
I've got the streptococcus.
Sounds dirty. It's not.
I've got it. I was in Tijuana over the weekend.
Once you get streptococcus and you get treated, you got an antibiotic shot.
I did.
It takes 24. You're still contagious.
Okay.
God. For 24 hours.
All right.
Well, when did you get your antibiotics?
Yesterday.
When?
I got a shot.
Yeah. Let's talk about what time.
Like mid morning.
Okay.
Mid morning.
Oh.
All right. So we're outside of the 24 hour window.
Yeah. So that's good.
So I guess here's the thing. So.
Lie to me.
Well, I've got to get on an oral antibiotic. So this is how this all...
For streptococcus.
Yeah, this is all for the streptococcus. Yeah. So Thursday I wasn't... I've been feeling kind of run down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Last week. So powered through Thanksgiving, didn't feel great. Friday kind of felt like crap, and I thought about ditching the show.
Oh, by the way, hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike
Hello.
Lynch is back.
Mike Lynch, back from New Jersey.
There's more important things. Let's figure out if we're also going to get strep throat this week or if we are safe.
So I wasn't going to come in and do this show on Friday, but I kind of felt bad bailing the day after Thanksgiving on you and just being like, hey, good luck doing the show.
Oh, look at you. You're such a hero.
I did. I felt bad because you know how that is. Like,
Yeah, but
holiday show.
Dude, you're sick, man.
Yeah, I was like, all right. I'm like, I can do it. It's not that bad. Well, I went home on Friday and it was bad. Like, I was laid up. Saturday, woke up throat was killing me, didn't leave bed, Sunday dying. And I'm texting my buddy, who's my doctor. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, I think I got something going on. I'm
good
like,
guy to know.
Yeah. I was like, I think I may have strep.
The doctor.
Because I've got to, they've talked about taking my tonsils out because I get strep. This is multiple times I've had it. So I was like, I'm pretty sure I've got it. And I'm texting him. No response. You're giving me nothing. So I'm calling him.
Wow.
Nothing.
Ghosting from the doctor.
Well, I thought maybe he was gone for the holidays, right? I was like, ah, oh, he may be gone somewhere because he's a Canuck. So I was like, ah, oh, maybe he's up in Canada or, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's traveling.
Well, doesn't mean he can't respond to you.
I know. Here's I don't buddy. Know. I got nothing. So I was like, so I broke down and I went to one of those like Zoom care places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are great.
I like to call those doc in a box.
Yeah, the doc in the box.
And those are fun. For something like strep, that's perfect.
Well, that's right.
Because all they got to do is swab it, and they're like, yep, it's strep, and then they can treat you, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, give me an antibiotic, and I needed something.
That's great.
So I just, I'm hurting. So Sunday I go in, I make the little appointment, I go in there, and they do the little swab, and he's like, we'll send it out. And then he started, like, feeling my legs for some reason. They trying to give me, I'm like, what? Why are we feeling my calves? I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, my throat hurts.
Maybe
like
he was checking for sexy calves.
I don't know what he was doing.
What?
It was
what?
Just a weird.
Checking for sexy calves? That's odd.
The whole thing was kind of strange.
It's a big disease, wow. Don't you know?
Yeah, he's like telling me to like, you know, he's holding my hands, like spread my fingers apart. I'm like, dude, I'm not having a stroke. I'm like, I just. Sick.
So he was
like,
checking for blood clots is what he was doing.
You don't have a voice. So they do the little thing and he comes back and tells me, yeah, you don't have strep. And I was like, oh, well, why does my throat hurt like this? And he's like, oh, it's probably just some viral thing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, nothing
You'll
I can do.
You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. So he gives me a prescription for some mouth rinse, right? He goes, that'll help numb your throat. And he sends me on my way, right? Mm-hmm. I'm in there for like 2 minutes. So he sends me out of there.
And this was on Sunday.
This is on Sunday.
And you did not have antibiotics on Sunday.
No, because he told me that I didn't have strep.
What?
So, by the way, I go to fill the prescription, and the lady at the pharmacy is like, yeah, insurance doesn't cover this. And it's like $90 for some mouth rinse.
There's that damn intercom again.
Yeah, I was like, what? She goes, yeah. She goes, insurance doesn't cover this. I'm like, well, I'm not paying $90 for some mouth rinse. I'm like, I'll get some chloroseptic. I'll be fine. Guy told me I didn't have strep. He said that you've already been sick for a couple of days. You'll feel better. Well, sure enough, Monday rolls around, not feeling better. And my doctor finally calls me, and he wasn't anywhere. He was in town. He goes, sorry, man. I just, you know, I didn't get back to you. I was like, well, thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I bet doctors don't like that. You know, like if they're not working, they don't want to.
Oh, but he's.
They probably have a million of those.
Yeah, but he's right? Like, I mean, he's like family. Like, he's like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
So I go in and see him.
Wow, what a jerk.
I know. So I go in and see him Monday.
That was a quick change back there, Rob.
Well, he was like, why did you go to that Zoom care place?
Yeah, I'm pretty much decided he's an ass.
Yeah, I was like, well, you wouldn't respond
to me. 2 seconds ago,
you
were like, doctors shouldn't be answering your texts.
Well, I think that would be annoying for doctors, right?
Yeah.
My wife gets that all the time.
Sure.
It's not annoying for her, but at the same time, like if, you know, like you get a lot of those.
Yeah.
Hey, so you've talked about this. It's like people want your services for free.
Yeah.
Like you're an attorney. Hey, I don't want to pay you, but could you look this over? You know, there's a fine line there, but yeah, you guys are buddies. So,
yeah, we're like.
So he should have responded to you.
Well, but he was tied up with other things. It's a tough time of year. So I go into him on Monday, and he says, dude, come in. Your throat's still hurting. He goes, I'll just give you a shot of antibiotics. We'll give you an anti-inflammatory. He goes, you might have like a secondary infection. He goes, people get false positive or false negatives all the time. Oh. So I go in and he gives me the shot of antibiotics right in the butt and then the steroid. So
just to be clear, what time was the shot?
Yeah, let's say 10:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even.
So we are 5 hours in the clear.
Really diagnose you. He's like, here, just take this.
Yeah. He goes, well, I understand you tested negative, but he goes, those come back for false negatives. All the time. And he goes, and it doesn't mean you don't have a secondary infection. He goes, your tonsils have been infected a couple times.
Yeah, you've got bad tonsils.
I do, and they want to take them out. But that's like a whole thing.
That is a whole thing.
Like when you're
an adult,
and especially doing what we do.
Yeah.
Although that, you know.
That's your moneymaker.
I take time off at the end of the year, so that may happen here this holiday season.
Wow, what if you come back next year with sexy voice?
Yeah, maybe. Be
yes. You should channel that voice right there. You should stay sick. That's a great voice.
So he gave me the shot and sent me on my way and said, hey, this will take care of it if you have like a secondary infection, and the steroid will help calm everything down. Your throat won't be so sore.
He just shot you up, man.
Yeah, shot me up, sent me on my way. You know,
should
high five, the kink, and we're out. Well, then today I'm driving into work and I get the little ringy ding from Dr. Whatever the hell. The Zoom.
Dr. Zoom?
Yeah, the Dr. Zoom. And he goes, yeah, by the way.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you do have strep. I was like, what? He goes,
did
yeah.
Did he turn into a pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of sounds like you do, appears you do have strep.
Yeah.
We're going to land this plane and get you all squared away.
So I was like, well,
just
should
back,
I?
Relax and be right with you.
So he's like, well, do you want to come back in? I said, no, I'm going to go see my real doctor.
So what did he, how did that?
I have strep.
But you didn't.
I didn't. But now I do. So I don't know of whether or not they misread the test or what, but they ran the little swab and no, you don't have anything set me on my way. Mm. Here we are. This was Sunday. Here we are on Tuesday. Phone rings. You've got strep.
So you are preemptive with the first shot.
Yes.
And now you have, so Zoom doc has given you.
No. I'm back on my, so I called my regular physician. I called Dr. Bessis, the doctor to the stars. And so on my way home, I have to swing by the pharmacy and pick up. He said I need to be on another, like an oral antibiotic to go along with the antibiotic.
Sucka.
I need to be on a course of antibiotics.
I don't like this.
Yeah, now it's making me nervous that the original antibiotic is not stopping the contagion.
Because we were just in a very small confined space with you.
Well, so the antibiotic shot obviously is what you needed to start, but I need to be on like on a week-long oral.
Look, we're going to go ahead and need you to call Dr. Bessis and confirm whether or not we are safe or in
It's too late.
Dire peril.
Yeah, you're too late now.
It's too late.
You're in a
We just got to take our precautions.
Yeah, you're in a world of trouble. I told Mike,
wash my hands.
Have you tried Marlboro Reds?
No, I smoke exclusively Dave's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That ought to work.
Yeah. And American Spirit from time to time. Well, mostly Dave's. So
sounds like we need to call Make-A-Wish for you.
Well, I think, honestly, this holiday season during my break, I just need to have the tonsils pulled out like I'm, you know.
Well, don't do anything silly.
Like ripping out a tree stump.
You have those things insured?
Yeah, I feel like at this age, getting your tonsils out in this job is a little bit nerve-wracking.
Well, that's why it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Because I don't have my tonsils out either.
Well, they have like horror stories.
Maybe you guys can get it together.
The older you are, the worse it is.
Hold hands.
And like my daughter had it when she was like 14, and it was horrific. I mean, it was like they try to tell you it's no big deal, whatever. And then I think my brother's wife had it when she was older. Same thing. It was horrific. And I was telling the doctor last year when he wanted to take him out around this time, I was like, yeah, I can't not, you know, like I can't be done for a month. And he goes, oh, no, you know, you'll be fine after a couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, that's almost a month. doesn't quite work out. So.
Well, as your partner and your lawyer, I advise you to be very careful with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
I need you.
I think you can deal with strep throat more than you could deal with the risk of losing your voice.
Yeah, it's no.
Yeah,
good.
Well, seriously, like that would be you could like, would that be a lawsuit?
I don't know. For the Zoom Care people, oh.
Well, no Zoom Care, no.
If you got your tonsils taken out, and it messed with your voice enough to where it affected your career.
That's your career.
Oh, that'd be great.
If they screwed up your voice, you could sue their ass.
Dude, that's even better. Let's make this happen.
You'd take that right now, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I've
been looking for a wonky lawsuit to put me on Easy Street for quite some time.
God.
Yeah, if you told me that I like my voice was just shot for like the rest of my life, but like, you know, I could sue for a bunch of money and not have to work anymore.
What if they only gave you like half of your current salary?
Nah, I got to keep working.
Three quarters.
No. I only make like
for nothing.
I only make like $12 an hour.
No, I know. Oh, believe me, I know. Yeah,
so. You know, if you're telling me I'm
okay, what if they gave you your
$6?
What if they said we'll pay you the
same?
They'll pay you the same.
Done.
I'd take that too.
Probably had me at three quarters.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well,
give me like $8.50 an hour. Yeah, I'm done.
Well, guys, we're back, and it's exciting to be back. We were not here yesterday. We were here Friday, but nobody probably heard that.
No.
We're not out. We're not here Friday because Oregon Utah is on the air, so we've got a lot to do. In a short amount of time.
Yes.
And we have shocking, surprising, breaking college football news.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
talking about Chris Peterson.
No one saw that coming.
He quit.
And I mean no one.
So we'll get to that. We've got our Jamboree. The college football playoff rankings are coming out here at the top of the hour. But we'll start with a little taste of Oregon football It's the subject of our poll question today, and we'll do that next on The Fan.
This is Pac-12 Championship Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Alan Webb, Mitsubishi.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll get to our poll question here in a smidge, but a little hot strep talk here. A lot of folks chiming in that, and this sounds right, you know, they do that little strep culture thing.
Yeah.
And that's where they almost gag you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Get that reflex in there.
And those are just quick tests, and then they send it off, like they send the culture off to be tested.
For further testing?
Yeah, and so the quick test doesn't catch all the strands, you know? And then if you have some sort of strep, then they're going to catch it on the rebound from that culture. So that's probably what happened.
So to be fair to the Zoom doc.
Yeah. As your doctor said, yeah, they don't always catch it.
Sure. Well, that's why he gave me the shot.
Yeah, here.
And then, because I...
Get out of here.
Now I don't know. I feel
you're
like
fine.
It's better than it was. I know it doesn't sound good.
I'm getting better.
Yes.
You're doing fine, but you should have stayed home today.
I felt like I was dying the other day.
Now, listen, I got it.
And now I don't.
I have a humble brag.
What do you got?
Okay. I was just looking at this. I have 11 shows until my Christmas vacation.
Okay.
And my humble brag is that all year, January 1 to now, I have not taken one sick day.
Really?
Not one. And that would be a record. So we can't end that.
Can anyone confirm that?
Well, yeah, because we have our sick days where you can, like, you know, we have our own little like internet pages now, and it says it all on there.
You got to do it.
Yeah. And so, 11 shows, bro.
Well,
so I feel like you should be home.
Well, I can go home if you'd like.
It's too late. Like I said, it's too late.
I don't think it's too late. I'm happy to turn around and go home. I can beat traffic right now. If you don't want me here, I'm out.
I want you here.
Okay.
But I just don't want to get. I don't want your streptococcus.
I want you.
Streptococcus.
To want me and my streptococcus. If you love me, you'll love my streptococcus too. You'll love all of me.
I do love your streptococcus.
That's part of me.
I don't know.
All right. Here's our poll question today. It is at 1080thefan.com. That's our website, you guys. It's brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. How do you feel about Oregon's season? Three options for you. Great.
Not just great, but great.
Great.
It's a Jerry Seinfeld great.
10-2 and playing for the Pac-12 title. You could vote on that one. You could vote on good, but hard not to be somewhat disappointed, or not good. College football playoff or bust. So you have to vote.
Mine would be in the middle.
All of you have to.
Because I said at the start of the year, anything less than 10 wins would be disappointing. I thought the Pac-12 was down. Oregon had the best offensive line in the country, a star quarterback coming back, a hammer defensive coordinator that you brought in. There should have been high expectations. And you won the Pac-12 North. You're 10-2. You're going to play for the Pac-12 title. Nothing about that is disappointing. The idea that college football are bust, God, unless you're Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, or someone like that, those are the only teams that have that mentality. The thing that stops me from saying great is you had the college football playoff in your sights, and you let it go by losing to a 500 football team that wasn't very good in Arizona State and getting outplayed by a freshman quarterback. That's the one that stings.
Well, so I just think
it's been a really, really good year and about what I expected. But when it's put before you that all you have to do is beat a team that's lost four in a row, you know, there's no way to view that as not a disappointing end.
That's why. So this is an odd one because you're so right. It's like, not only that, but you couple in the Auburn game and how they barely lost that game.
Yeah.
And you realize how close they are to being undefeated.
Yeah.
And then what would we be saying about them? Like, we're talking about what? 3 points and a prayer pass.
Yeah, third and 16.
From being undefeated. And then we'd be like, oh my God, this team's great. And then but because they lost those two games, now it sort of feels like it kind of feels worse. They're 10-2 and it feels worse than that.
I know, it's strange,
you know?
In that so many times you look at the results, right? And that's, I mean, to be fair, that's all we have to judge, right, is results. But I guess my point is that 10-2 isn't always indicative of how good you are, either good or bad, right? Like you mentioned the fact that you're a couple plays away from being undefeated. And so maybe 10-2 doesn't tell the story of just how close you were to really being elite. But you could also make the argument that you could easily not be 10-2. You could be 8-4 because the Washington and Washington State games, right, easily could have gone the other way. And so if you're 8-4, does it change what you think about this team? Well, of course it does. But does it change how good they were? No. So being undefeated at this point or being 8-4 by having one play go either way, it doesn't change what this team is. It just changed the perception of it, which is why sometimes you can look at results and they can be a bit misleading. But ultimately, I mean, you're judged by what your record is. But that's why I said that after Oregon lost to Arizona State, I said I came on the air and I said nothing about what I think of Oregon has changed. I think exactly the same thing of Oregon before and after that game, that it was a good team, but it's not an elite team. And they just finally had one of these games go the other way. You know, they've played some close games this year and they've pulled a couple of them out. And unfortunately, two of them didn't go their way.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, but complaints are getting louder. You know, it's like the Arroyo thing. And
yeah, I just
and it's just it feels it's an odd team. This is an odd team because it's really good. It really is. I mean,
it's not great.
No, it isn't great, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And yet it feels somewhat, not to all. I mean, we'll be interested to see what the results of the poll question are, but the complaints about Arroyo and everybody's kind of bitching and woe is me. And, you know, now it's like, oh, Utah's going to kick their, I don't know, but it just feels way worse than what
it should be,
what
right?
It is and what it should be. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like Oregon fans. I mean, they're a little too spoiled. I mean, the reality is you're playing for the Pac-12 title, mm-hmm. and the Rose Bowl is still in play. How is that not good enough? But, you know.
Well, and I get, too, that the Civil War was less than
but
inspiring,
I also,
right?
Like, oh, absolutely. Dude, oh, by the way,
I mean, if Jake Luton,
report.
Yeah.
I was there.
No one saw the picture.
I was there. Well, I didn't send you guys a picture.
Just,
but
then were you there?
Yeah, you said.
I was there.
How many times did you say you
I
were
went
in
to the game.
Picture?
Well, who can,
yeah,
can,
I didn't.
Who can confirm?
Brandon Sprague.
He saw you.
He was there, yeah. We sat in the same aisle.
Oh.
Conveniently, Brandon Sprague, now out of the country,
yeah,
so
Brandon
we can't ask.
Brandon Sprague in Vietnam.
Oh, he's in Vietnam?
In
for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, what? For 3 weeks.
What?
Convenient
I was also,
that the one guy that can confirm your bullcrap story is
there's
now
more.
Across the pond.
There's more. I know you guys hate that I told you that I was going and I actually went. And you're going to try everything you can to make it so that I didn't, but I was there.
I mean, it was easy. You just had to snap a picture and
that's
send
all we
it.
We asked.
Well, I didn't do that. I tailgated. It was butt cold. Mm-hmm. We had a good time. But to your point about the Civil War, I was sitting there in the third quarter, mm-hmm. and it was, I think, 17-3 maybe at that time, whatever the score was. And Oregon seemed in complete control of the game, and that place was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dead.
There was no juice
nothing.
Whatsoever.
And I looked around, and I was like, it feels so weird. This is a really good team that's about to go play for the Pac-12 title. This is a rivalry game. And I just, it was just odd. It's the whole thing is odd.
Yep.
And I don't, it's hard to put your finger on it.
Well,
maybe
it was,
Oregon's just graduated to that next level of higher expectations.
But it was so uninspiring there. And when Oregon State cut it to a score, you know, there was it 17-10. I there was some people that were, you know, I'm sure had a little bit of a pucker factor. And look, if Jake Luton plays in that game, I'm not so certain if that isn't a bit of a nail biter there. And then Oregon got the one to put it away. But the difference in the game wasn't Oregon's offense. It was the special teams, right? It was the return for a touchdown. Without that, that is a completely different game. And so I get why, you know, Oregon fans are a bit uninspired right now. And I'll tell you what, if they don't pull their head out and play better than they did the last 2 weeks, if they play the way they did against Oregon State and against Arizona State on Friday night, Utah will kick their ass. Utah will absolutely bludgeon them, and they will score 10 points. And Utah and that offense will ram it down their throat. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but Oregon better figure something out and better figure out some motivation, because you can't show up against the Utes. I don't know if anyone's been watching Utah play, but Utah right now is killing fools. And you don't want that smoke if that's the way you're going to play, because they have been uninspired
against
State and Oregon State.
Well,
that's not good enough. It just isn't not to win the Pac-12. And there's no excuse to play like that.
Well, here's the thing.
You've
got
the Rose Bowl on the line.
Some of this might be, well, let's let them give them a chance first. I mean, the game's not till Friday. But I think some of this may be that when you have an offensive line, I think Oregon fans know really well. Mm-hmm. especially because of how they were built for so many years. Really damn good within one play of winning the national championship against Auburn, right?
Yep.
Another game went to the national title with Mariota. And so they've had special seasons. It's just that when you get an offensive line like this and you get a seasoned offensive line like this and a seasoned quarterback like this,
this isn't good enough.
And you've got studs on D. Yeah, it kind of feels like that. It's like, man, that's special. And yeah, people know that that's special, and that's going away next year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, So it does kind of feel a little disappointing.
Yeah,
anyway.
because I think when to your point with Herbert, that offensive line, and I hear people all the time that ask me, is this offensive line really that good? And no one believes. Yes, it is. It is that. It is the best offensive line in the country. It is the best offensive line Oregon has ever had.
I was gonna say, don't you think this will be one that they'll have a very difficult time duplicating?
Yes.
I mean, they're not going to duplicate that.
No.
That's not an every year thing. That's what I'm saying. Herbert is not an every year thing, even though some of the shine is off of him. But
you have three legit All-Americans. You have four all Pac-12 performers. And to be honest with you, you have the best offensive lineman in the country in Penei Sewell. You will not duplicate that again. This is rarefied air when you talk about this offensive line was built. And when you put it together with a four-year starting quarterback that, you know, most people have as a top five NFL pick. And let's be honest, the Pac-12 isn't good, right? I mean, Washington State, all your competition in the North was down.
Look at Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, they played Utah. The two best teams they played this year were USC and Washington.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
And they lost to one of them, and they only won the other game by five.
The Pac-12 is really down, and so I think if you want to do the glass half empty sort of thing, that's where it comes from. Not that this wasn't a good team, and not that 10-2, or if you win and you go to the Rose Bowl, isn't a great accomplishment. But with that, with a good defense and an offensive line in Herbert, I can see where some people wish they had, it achieved a little bit more.
All right, vote on our poll question, 1080thefan.com. We'll see how they finish this off on Friday, see what happens here. Maybe they can still get to the Rose Bowl. Maybe Utah will go to the college football playoff, although they would have to lose in order to play in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to play in the Rose Bowl if they... Oh, no, that's not true.
No, if they
yeah,
win,
that's not true.
If they win, they go to the Rose. Yeah, I was like...
But they can still lose and go to the Rose Bowl.
Yes, they just need Utah to go to the college football playoff.
Yeah, yeah. So they can still get to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is great. Okay, coming up next, Chris... Oh, I want to tell you, too. There was also a bro listener who recognized me in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. He was like, hey, Rob, I didn't think you were coming. I'm like, well, here I am.
Again,
And he's like, that Sook's an idiot. I'm like, yeah, he sure is.
Conveniently, that bro hasn't chimed in.
Not yet.
There's not one. How many? 65,000 people there, and not one can confirm that you were there.
Well, I just said, I saw a bro in the toilet,
and
Brandon Sprague.
Yeah, one's in Vietnam, and the other one is mythical because some bro.
You get with them when they're back stateside. You get with them, and they'll tell you. Chris Peterson pulls a Bob Stoops. We'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
This is Pac-12 Championship Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Allen Webb Mitsubishi.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, tomorrow, if you're a sports gambler, if you like gambling on college football, since we don't have a show on Friday, Colin Wilson of Action Network is going to join us tomorrow in this time slot. So he'll have the Utah-Oregon breakdown, all the other championship game breakdowns, and that will be tomorrow at this time. So he's normally on Fridays at 3:30. He's going to be tomorrow at 3:30.
Now, someone did correctly point out that, you know, Oregon wins, you're in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
So just take care of that. Or Utah would still go probably to a New Year's Six Bowl. But so actually, if you – the Pac-12 probably wants that scenario. I guess no, because if – that well, that would guarantee it. Because if Utah wins, it's not a guarantee that they get into the college football playoff. So Oregon winning would probably guarantee you two teams in the New Year's Six. But if you're Oregon and you don't win that game, it behooves you to lose really badly. Like, you don't want to lose by 3 points. If you're going to lose the game, you need to lose by 30 points, because the better Utah looks, the better chance they have getting into the college football playoff, and you would get into the Rose Bowl. So it's either Oregon win or lose really, 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 really badly.
That's really weird.
I know, it's strange.
And then if they don't go to the Rose Bowl, do they go to Alamo?
Alamo Bowl.
Most likely?
Yeah.
Mm. And that's against the Big 12?
Yeah, I think that's the Big 12. So you would lose. You would
maybe Baylor.
You would play Baylor or Oklahoma, probably the loser of the Big 12 title game.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. So I think that's the scenario there is Utah wins and they either get into the college football playoff and you go to the Rose Bowl, or Utah wins, doesn't get in, they go to the Rose Bowl, you get bumped into the Alamo, or Oregon just wins and then they're in the Rose Bowl.
All right. Chris Peterson is no longer.
And you're probably playing, by the way, Wisconsin, because Ohio State's going to the Big Ten title game is meaningless to Ohio State. It's Ohio State and Wisconsin, and even if Ohio State loses, they're still in the playoffs. So the Rose Bowl will be Wisconsin, regardless of what happens in the Big Ten title game. So whether it's Utah or whether it's Oregon, you will have a matchup with Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
So Washington has a new coach.
Yes.
Since you last slept.
Go figure, huh?
It's crazy.
Yeah. No one saw that coming. I got a buddy of mine that's tied in pretty close to that program, and I asked him, and he goes, dude, there wasn't even a whisper of that.
Well, it sounds like, so Chris Peterson is retiring.
Yes.
That's what happened. And we have some clips here, which we're going to play in our next segment for you, so you can hear what he had to say. By all accounts, it was a very open and honest and upfront press conference where he's like, man, I haven't had a break in 40 years.
Yep.
And I'm burnt, and I'm tired, and just didn't have it this year.
He said it basically started.
It's fair to the program to turn it over to somebody with more energy right now.
Yeah, he said that last year. Remember, they went to the Rose Bowl, and you know they lost, but they went to the Rose Bowl, Ohio State, and he said that was like a dream of his, right, to coach in the Rose Bowl for 40 years. And he said when he wasn't excited about the Rose Bowl, he knew that something was up. And I tip of the cap for realizing that you just have a burnout factor there. And this kind of sounds like the exact same thing that Bob Stoops had. Urban Meyer's a little bit different because Urban's got some of the health problems, and you know he was battling with the assistant coach scandal that he was taking some heat for. But remember that both of those guys stepped aside, and those programs didn't miss a beat. And it sounds like Chris Peterson believes that Jimmy Lake is going to do exactly that. And if Chris Peterson has lost something off his fastball, 100% of Jimmy Lake could be better than 75% of Chris Peterson.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. He's never been a head coach.
No, so he hasn't.
We'll just have to wait and see. But
Lincoln Riley hadn't been a head coach, and Ryan Day hadn't been a head coach, and both those programs, last time I checked, are pretty good.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys who haven't been head coaches that flamed out and were terrible. Yeah. So for every Ryan Day, there's two on the other side. But that's not fair to compare him to anybody. It's just it's Jimmy Lake. He's different. The program is in a good place, it seems, and so we'll see. But Peterson, 55 years old. He'd been there for 6 years. He went 52-26, two Pac-12 titles, and got his team into the college football playoff once, but he went just 1-4 in bowl games. So I feel like if I gave you a list of prominent Power 5 coaches who were going to step down, or one was going to step down, let's say I hand you a list of like 25 big-time coaches.
Yeah.
And Chris Peterson was a name on there, and you're scrolling through, and I'm saying, hey, one of these guys is going to shock us all and step down. Chris Peterson's probably in your top two or three, right?
Yeah, because he seems like the sort of person that may just have other interests. He's not... he's not the single-minded focus guy. Like it's not. If Nick Saban said that he was stepping down to gain some clarity in his life, you're like, by clarity you mean going to Texas to take a $100 million contract. But I believe that Chris Peterson is one of those guys that you could legitimately just see being like, look, I want to go do something else. I've been doing this forever.
It's also pretty refreshing how honest he is about it, and you're gonna hear that coming up next. We have Chris Peterson clips for you, but let's take a break. It's 3:44 on the Fan.
This is Pac-12 Championship Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Allen Webb Mitsubishi.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back. It's Rop and Sook. No show yesterday due to the Seahawks. No show Friday. Ducks, Utah. So we're squeezing a lot here into these next three shows. Now, Chris Peterson stepped down at Washington. Jimmy Lake taking over. Very surprising, but then again, also... like, not surprising, just based on the way we know Peterson's wired.
Yeah.
So we had a press conference today, and before we get to the Jamboree, because we've got the college football playoff rankings coming out and some other stuff here, let's play a few clips. Here is Peterson talking about knowing when it's time to step away.
You know, one of the things that I've always felt that I've been fairly intuitive with is when to go and when to stay and when to change. And I felt very strongly that this is the right time for me personally to to make a change. You know, I think this job, I've been coaching 32 years and, you know, 8 years even as a player, so 40 years in the game. And in fact, my dad was a coach. And so I remember watching film in our house on a 16 millimeter projector. And so it's been a lot of years of football. You know, never had a break from it.
A lot of people can relate to that.
Oh yeah,
you know,
you do anything for that long, and I get that people, you know, it's there's this notion of, well, it's, you know, it's a dream job, and you know, you're making millions of dollars, but that's the, I don't care what job you have, it's still a job. And this idea that just because you make millions that this thing isn't a physical and emotional grind. I mean, this is a 12-month a year job, recruiting and film, and that it never ends. And the fact that you do make so much money, I guarantee Chris Peterson doesn't need another dime for the rest of his life, and it gives you the freedom of it. It's just that, do you have the wherewithal to realize that you can be happy doing something else, and Chris Peterson does?
Here he is cracking a joke about how Mike Leach knew it before Peterson knew it.
I will tell you, before the game, I'm talking to Mike Leach, and he comes up and says, "Hey, how much longer are you going to do this?" And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this guy's a mind reader, too. We're in trouble.
Well, my.
And so I'm like, oh, we got a good plan today because this guy's honest.
The intuition of the great Mike Leach. Yeah. But Peterson basically said that, he, as you mentioned, he didn't enjoy the Rose Bowl last year as much as he should.
Yeah.
So he was starting to get burnt out. And then this year, he just didn't feel it. And so he'd been thinking about it, but then only really in the past 2 to 3 weeks did he really decide, okay, yeah, I really do need to step away. Will he coach again? Here's his answer.
Do you think you'll coach again?
Yeah, so I'm not falling into that trick question, Tim. No, I'm definitely never going, you know, I know how that goes. You see all these coaches say that, and then 2 years later, they're back. My whole plan is to get rested, to get recharged, and get redirected. Like, the one thing I know is that I'm not ready to do nothing, you know. And I just got to figure out where all this energy and this passion and inspiration goes. And I don't want it to be on the football field. And I'm excited to see where this whole thing takes me, because I do have a lot of thoughts and ideas and you know, passion for helping others. I've been through so many things in this business, so many things, that I think I can help other people in this business and maybe outside of it. And I have a lot to learn as well. Like, I'm excited to really go learn some things that I haven't been able to figure out in my mind as well as I would like to. So that's, you know, that's where I am right now. And we'll just see where this goes.
I mean, that's just an open-ended, you know, who knows where
he doesn't know.
No,
he has. But it sounds like a healthy perspective. Like, sure. I've always thought, you know, it's weird. It's like we in this country, it seems like, you know, you're to get this career and you get this trajectory, and you scrap and claw for it, and it takes a long time to build it, whatever it is, your business, your career, your whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we all do it, and then we look up once we've had a little success at it, or maybe even a lot of success at it, and you look up and you go, well, what am I going to do this the rest of my life? Well, to a lot of people, yeah. Like, yep. They're tied to it. It's their identity. It's what they love, and it's their passion. And to a lot of other people, it's like, okay, well, I've done that. Well,
what's the next challenge?
What else can I do? This, yeah. You only get one of these lives. And
it says that
so we're not really – I just don't feel like we're meant – to do the same thing our whole lives. And people get antsy, and I think he's kind of got a little bit of that. And I just think that's perfectly normal and perfectly healthy.
Well, yeah. And he's going to work in some sort of an advisory position at Washington. I don't know what exactly that means. If he's just around, if he's fundraising, you know, I could see him working in an athletic department, becoming an AD, you know, you could see him going into media. He just, you never know. Or he just goes into something completely different, right? And he eliminates it from football. Or maybe in 2 years he comes back and he coaches somewhere else. Like I said, I think that is about as open-ended as it gets. And I think that is, you're exactly right when you said that he doesn't know what he's going to do next. And for him, that's probably a good thing.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
See, I think a lot of people, that would be, that's fear. It's like, oh no, what am I going to do? I can't lose. But to people wired like him, I think that that is exciting. Not it's not a fear-based thing. It's an exciting thing.
Well, and also, too, remember that he's got two unbelievable safety nets and that he's one of the best to do it. And if he wanted to, he could go back and take any job that he really wanted. And the other part, too, is you know he's sitting on a pile of money. So I think it scares some people. If you're working a 9-to-5, you're a ham and egger. Yeah, there's a terrifying thing of, God, am I going to be able to support my family? Or, you know, where's the you know, if my job gets eliminated because of, you know, automation or whatever, what am I going to do? Well, Chris Peterson doesn't have to worry about that. There's a safety net there.
I mean, I don't think anybody's talking about, like, just the 9-to-5 or who can't lose their job. I'm talking about anybody who's had some success at something. Of course, you have to have a safety net to be able to do that. Otherwise, you just simply could not do it. It wouldn't be practical.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that goes without saying. But anyway, classy guy. I like Chris Peterson. Always loved talking to him down at Pac-12 Media Day.
I do, too. And
he's a good dude.
There was I think it was John Wilderner that had this. And I was poking around and I was asking. Like I said, I know a couple people that are, I'm not going to say like, they're close to the program, right? And everyone kind of speaks in hushed tones. But you hear certain things. So I was kind of poking around. And Wilner had mentioned this too about the transfer portal and recruiting and just the early signing period and in social media and just kind of the way college football is trending. And there are a lot of people that think that maybe that played a bigger role in this than he will ever admit. Remember he talked about when the transfer portal, how he was really against it and took a lot of flack. I gave him some flack for it. But the nature of the beast in college football has changed, right? That the Chris Petersons of the world that recruit the way he does, that takes this sort of approach to kids the way he does, I'm not going to say that he's a dying breed. He is a bit of a dinosaur, though. And you will see a stark contrast when Jimmy Lake takes over that program. Jimmy Lake is a Mario Cristobal sort of high-energy recruiting guy. There's a buzz around him, you know, go, 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 go at all times and wants to play in those recruiting wars and really kind of be that that new age coach. And Chris Peterson is not. And I think some people at UW were frustrated with that he didn't have more of that flash and sizzle. And I do know there's people up there that I'm not going to say are excited or happy that he's gone, but that are really interested to see what a different approach, a more youthful, energetic, modern approach that Jimmy Lake is going to bring to the table could do for that program. Because there were some that thought that Oregon was going to lap Washington because of that sort of energy, especially when it comes to recruiting. And I think that wore on Chris Peterson, that he realized his way of doing things made it more difficult to succeed in this day and age of college football. Yeah. And I think the Urban Meyer and the Stoops, I think this all played a role in that.
Yeah, and it sounds like Jimmy Lake, they love him.
Yes.
They got the right guy there. Yes. So we'll see. Give him a shot at it. There was an article in Yahoo that said that Chris Peterson did interview at USC right after the Lane Kiffin firing.
Yeah.
The tarmac firing.
Yeah.
And it said that both of them came away from that meeting thinking that it would not work. And it's because they wanted to recreate the kind of lively Pete Carroll era.
Yep.
And Chris Peterson, and they said, and the people that quoted from USC said they were really happy that Chris Peterson was so honest because he was just like, that's not me.
Yeah.
It's not me, man. I'm not going to create that culture. And in the second that they started talking about donor and media relations, things went south. Yeah. And that's just...
He wasn't,
you're right.
He wasn't viewed as a USC kind of guy.
It's a young man's game. Well, USC kind of guy. It's just the same thing you just described. Yep. What Cristobal has going on, what Jimmy Lake may get stirred up. It's like that is a winning recipe right there. And so
there is less emphasis now from a head coach to be an X's and O's guy as it is to be a hype man and a recruiter. And that's just the way college football is going. And I think that played a much bigger role than he will ever admit to, from what I'm hearing, that he just didn't want to keep up with the Joneses.
But, you know, he said, I think there's a lot of people who think he's kind of like, he liked the anonymity of Boise. And once he took the leap to Seattle, it wasn't going to be that long, 6 years.
Yeah.
So they may look at that and say, well, you know, if he was at Boise, he'd still be going or this or that. But he said in his press conference today, he said, you know, there's actually quite a bit more anonymity in Seattle because there's 4 million people who don't even know football's going on. Yeah. Like, it's a big city. Whereas Boise, yeah, where every, he's the king, yeah, you know, so who knows?
Well, 6 years, what, 2 Pac-12 titles, right?
Yeah, college, he did a good job.
A berth in a college football playoff.
It felt like he was just getting started, yeah, which is weird. It just feels like he just got there, but it's been six years. Yeah. All right, the Jamboree coming up next, including the college football playoff rankings on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.